I'm Melissa Bowman for CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Thanks for tuning in to today's Waterloo Region Weekly Roundup. Last episode focused solely on one meeting in one location, Cambridge, and that's where we return today. Cambridge staff have presented Council with two candidate locations for consumption and treatment services in the city. At the previous meeting, over 25 delegations spoke to the issue. Today, Council considers what they have been presented with so far and whether to proceed with community consultation on the two candidate locations. Since last week's meeting, Council has received nearly 100 written submissions on this issue, in addition to the previous 200 or so they had already received. The meeting begins with various councillors weighing in on the process to date. Councillor Wolfe understands that some residents are scared, but states that there has not been any evidence that a consumption and treatment services site increases crime. Both the Guelph and Waterloo Region Police Services confirm that they have not seen an increase in crime in and around the CTS sites. And you'll recall that Council is not tasked with selecting a site right now. Rather, they are deciding whether to move on to community consultation. Mayor McGarry outlines the process up to this point. She notes that Council may choose to move ahead with consultation on one site, both sites, or neither, or there may be more sites added to the table later.
I also would like to take a moment to outline the process and what we are doing here today. Council is not being asked to select a site for consumption and treatment site tonight. We're here to provide direction on the sites that staff has identified as candidate sites and direction on community consultation for a potential CTS site. I also want to note that if we choose to move forward with community consultation on the sites identified, it does not represent any agreement from Council that we prefer one site over another. It only means that we want to hear from all audiences on the candidate sites.
Mayor McGarry also reminds listeners of how Cambridge got to this point, starting with Council conversations almost 2 years ago.
And I think it's important also to advise that this community consultation process is a result of Council direction to staff in June of 2019. And this provides an opportunity for the city to gain a better understanding of various audiences as it relates to sites identified and the topic in general of Cambridge having a consumption and treatment services location within the city. Should there be a future operator in the future that's interested in pursuing a potential site and an application to the federal and provincial government, an operator would be required to complete community consultation as well as part of their application process.
Lastly, Mayor McGarry wraps up her introductory remarks by clarifying that although Cambridge has a role to play in the consumption and treatment services decisions, the city itself would not be the operator of such a site.
Again, for issues of clarity, it would not be the city of Cambridge who would be applying for a CTS site. It's a future potential operator.
Ward 2 Councillor Mike Devine seeks clarification of where things currently stand, as he doesn't recall ever approving a CTS site.
Unless I missed something the last couple of years, I don't believe this council has voted to have a CTS in the city of Cambridge. We have agreed to look at potential sites and locations, but I don't ever recall having a vote to have a CTS in the city of Cambridge. Or did I miss something somewhere?
Staff clarify.
You're correct. Council has directed staff to identify potential candidate sites, yes, and to develop a community consultation framework.
Ward 3 Councillor Mike Mann asked staff about how far from a potential site will community engagement extend.
I really want to have a sense of understanding how big the radius is around the potential sites that we are going to go out and survey or consult with the neighbors, because to me it's very important we get the feedback from the community, but much more important, or more important rather, is getting the feedback from that very particular neighborhood. And you talked about the kitchen table, and you talked about people getting together and working on the feedback together. And that's okay, but I still think it's very important. And you talk about the door-to-door canvassing and the surveys and those kinds of things. I need that level of comfort knowing that we are going to reach the community that that a site is being considered in.
Staff respond that nothing has been finalized yet, but agree that consultation needs to be broad.
With respect to the near neighbors, it's really important that we don't draw a geographic boundary that says 100 meters, for example. So I'm not proposing that we draw what you might see in planning applications where you're drawing a statutory requirement of a line. I think as we heard from last week's discussion with the two sites, there are certainly the east area of Dundas and Hespler, going right over through Roseview, there's a broader area where people are potentially impacted by even the traveling characteristics.
The city consultant states that she will work with city staff on identifying more detailed areas for engagement.
So I would want to work with city staff to ensure that we have a broad enough area that we capture the individuals, the families, and the businesses that are in and around the site. So it would not be just those that are abutting, but we a broader area. We haven't defined it specifically, but would certainly take your advice on ensuring that it's broad enough to ensure that those near neighbors can have that discussion. They have other ways to be involved, but I think obviously given the fact that these two sites that you're considering this evening for engagement have a particular impact, that we'd want to ensure that they have the opportunity for direct conversation.
Ward 5 Councillor Pam Wolf has concerns about the length of time it will take to get the report back from staff. She wants the turnaround to happen as quickly as possible because this issue is urgent and people are dying.
I have a concern over the length of time we're going to take to get a report. So it sounds like if September is considered early fall, that we're talking 5 months before we even get a report. And this is an urgent situation. You know, basically every third day a person is dying, and we've been putting this off now for 2 years at least. If we're not doing it, we're not doing it. But if we're going to do it, I think 5 months to get this report back is far too long.
Staff respond.
Based on the amount of and broad engagement that we are looking to do as part of this consultation, and then the requirement to then collect that feedback and put it together in a report for you that provides some direction, but also so that it's easy to understand for not just yourselves, but also for members of the public. That's a great amount of work. And so we have forecasted for the community consultation to happen, between May to July. And then that gives Sue and staff, you know, at least August to try and put that information together to hopefully get it to you in September. It's a lot of work to put all of that detail into a comprehensive report for you that is easy to understand for everyone. So that's the need behind the length of time.
Ward 1 Councillor Donna Reed says that she has heard a lot of references to residents fearing a CTS site. She believes the antidote to that fear is knowledge. She inquires as to whether there will be an educational component to the consultation process.
Is there going to be any educational aspect to this consultation? And what I'm trying to get at is I know that the antidote to fear is knowledge. And what we got from a lot of the public was a sense of their fear of what would happen to them, to their property, to their friends. And so I really think it's important that there be some education that goes along with this so that the public is better understands what it is that a CTS site can do, will do, and what it won't do.
Staff share what some of the educational components will be.
So we identified some specific information needs that would be part of the consultation. For example, for the general public, it's identifying the purpose of the consultation, how sites were identified, and that a lot of that information is in the staff report, but then details on what a CTS site is. So we'd want to be able to describe what a CTS site is and, to your point, what is not. We'd like to give information about the sites under consideration and, importantly, what types of services could be provided. So examples of the services that could be provided and how they would function.
The city consultant notes that different audiences may have specific information shared with them.
For some of the different audiences, for example, for near neighbors, more specific information about how they might be able to get to a site, so the travel characteristics, and certainly heard some comments about those last week, what supports or resources would be available at a site, and again, the functionality and examples of a site. And I would carry on for each of the audiences, that's important information.
Lastly, the consultant identifies what will not be part of the engagement and education process, notably harm reduction statistics.
What would be missing from this would be certainly the information that Councillor Hamilton spoke of earlier in terms of statistics on overall harm reduction. That's not part of the consultation information, but certainly information about examples of the types of services and examples of what a CTS site could be and is not would be part of the education information up front.
Councillor Scott Hamilton echoes Councillor Wolf's point and says that he's received a lot of emails claiming a lot of things, some of which may not be fully accurate. Ward 4 Councillor Jan Liggett responds to staff's reply. She wants to ensure that we are only educating on things that are completely accurate.
Sue, when you talk about the education, I want to make sure that we're not educating on stuff that isn't 100% accurate, because we hear how there won't be needle debris anymore, and we know that's not true. There will still be needle debris for those that don't go into a CTS site. There's always those who hang around outside in the other areas around one and still leave their debris outside. So I just want to make that point.
Councillor Hamilton then asks if people's responses from outside of Cambridge will be included in the staff report. Councillor Liggett says that she has concerns of people providing input when you have no skin in the game.
One of the problems I have is some of the emails that came through to us were people who have no skin in the game in this community. You know, people who aren't potential clients. I have grave concerns that they would be making a decision or are having input into a decision that we are making here for our community and what's best for it.
However, Councillor Reid argues that anyone in Waterloo Region does have a stake in this. She doesn't think Council should disregard emails from other parts of this region.
I'm reacting somewhat to the fact that only people who live in that area or only people who live in Cambridge could respond to this. And that's not the way I see this question. To me, it's an all-encompassing kind of question that anyone who lives in the region has a stake in this, because we know that people are dying, and this is an issue that people care about, whether they live in Cambridge or whether they live in Kitchener, whether they live in Waterloo, whether they live in Ayr, doesn't matter where they live, if they care about it and they care what happens to people. I wouldn't want to say that we would disregard anyone who had a say or thought that they should have some say in whether or not a CTS was a good harm reduction type of service that should be given to vulnerable people or not.
Staff make a couple of comments in response. They note that people will not be asked if they agree or disagree with a site. Instead, they will be asked what they like, dislike, or concerns with the identified sites. They also note that consultation could identify whether someone is from Cambridge or not, but then still collect their opinion either way. Councillor Wolf says that consumption and treatment services keep people alive until they are ready to seek treatment.
A CTS offers professional, person-centered support for those struggling with addiction. As a leader, it is not only our role to speak for the majority, but also to protect the vulnerable. I look to experts in law, medicine, health, social work, and those with lived experience to guide my decision. They are telling me that a CTS is a valuable tool in combating the crisis in which we find ourselves. Consumption and treatment sites save lives and lead to people struggling with addiction finding support to access needed services.
Counselor Ermeta believes that the focus should be on treatment. He says that a consumption and treatment services site is not going to improve a neighborhood.
I would just like to see more of an emphasis on treatment. And, you know, the concerns about having these kind of facilities, like the CTS and the neighborhoods, they are legitimate. It does change the neighborhood and it doesn't improve the neighborhood. And I believe that public safety is important as well. And that's why, in my perspective, I don't think it's appropriate for any neighborhood in the city. And I would rather, if it is going to come, I'd rather it go to an area that's got much higher security. So that's why I'm not going to be supporting this.
Councillor Ermeta outlined why he does not support the motion of moving ahead with community consultation on this issue. Though he did not present evidence for this, Councillor Ermeta stated that not only will overdoses still happen with a CTS site, but they will actually increase.
The overdoses will still happen, and they're still going to go up with the CTS. And I just believe that treatment is the best option, and we need to somehow connect better and to bring more people in that direction.
It's worth noting here that the Region of Waterloo's website states that CTS do not promote drug use. People do not start injecting drugs because of the availability of CTS. Research has also found that CTS do not cause people to relapse or prevent people from stopping drug use altogether. If you'd like to see that information for yourself, along with a lot of other information on consumption and treatment services and harm reduction strategies, head to regionofwaterloo.ca and enter consumption and treatment services in the search bar. Other councillors shared a few final thoughts and comments on this issue as the discussion wrapped up. Councillor Mann says he thinks this is an opportunity to get information. He thinks it's unfair for us to expect that those who use drugs can simply be expected to drop all drug consumption on day one. Mayor McGarry notes that when some preliminary consultation was done, potential clients said that they wouldn't use a site at the hospital, mostly due to stigma around drug use. Councillor Liggett believes a CTS site will destroy neighborhoods and businesses, but says she would consider the hospital as the only possible location. And Councillor Devine will support this motion in an effort to get more information, but wants everyone to know that does not mean that he will support a decision in favor of a CTS site down the road. The motion goes to a vote, and Councillors Ermeta and Liggett vote against it. That means Councillors McGarry, Wolfe, Devine, Mann, Hamilton, Adshade, and Reed all voted for the motion. The Cambridge press release summarizes the meeting this way. Council voted to move forward with a community consultation framework to gather public feedback from a variety of stakeholders on two potential candidate sites for a future consumption and treatment service in Cambridge. The goal of the CTS consultation is to collect feedback on specific candidate sites and report back to Council on what was heard. This process will encourage the exchange of views and perspectives on the candidate sites through a variety of engagement options for the general public, near neighbors, service providers, and potential CTS clients to provide input. Staff recognize that people participate in public consultation in different ways, and so engagement activities will include the Engage Cambridge platform, online survey, kitchen table feedback forums, and telephone calls and virtual meetings. Opportunities to participate will be communicated through social media, newspaper notifications, and postcard outreach to neighbors. That press release also notes that regardless of the outcome of the consultation, a potential health provider will still need to apply to oversee the operations of the site and follow all regional, provincial, and federal requirements. And that concludes this episode of the Weekly Roundup, a program that is part of the Local Journalism Initiative grant program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. You can find out more about that initiative as well as all of the CKMS programming at Radio Waterloo. Also, feel free to continue this conversation. You can always find me on Twitter at M2Bowman. Thanks for listening.